A missing and troubled pilot is found by U.S. Marshals in Florida. There's already a lawsuit over Continental Flight 1404. And maybe 1,000 feet is not enough space to give an A380. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 14th, 2009. Missing pilot Marcus Schrenker is reportedly in police custody in Florida after generating bizarre headlines for 2 days. As ANN reported, the 38-year-old executive was facing an Indiana state investigation of three of his financial firms, the recent filing for divorce by his wife, and a $500,000 penalty owed to an insurance company for allegedly collecting commissions to which he was not entitled. On Sunday night, officials say he set his Piper Meridian's autopilot, told air traffic controllers he was bleeding profusely, bailed out over Alabama, and left the plane to run out of fuel and crash near Destin, Florida. He was later spotted in Childersburg, Alabama, but eluded police. Yesterday, officials discovered that a man they believe was Schrenker stashed a red Yamaha motorcycle with saddlebags in a storage unit near where he bailed out of his plane, telling the leasing agent he'd be back for it on Monday. Last night, a multi-state manhunt finally located Schrenker at a campsite near Quincy, Florida. U.S. Marshals told CNN he was bleeding profusely from deep cuts on his wrists as 20 officers approached his tent. He's now under guard at a hospital. Also yesterday, charges of unlawful transaction by an investment advisor were filed against Schrenker in Indiana. There will be more to report before this story is over. The first of what will likely be several lawsuits has been filed against Continental Airlines following last month's takeoff crash of a Boeing 737 at Denver International Airport. Flight 1404 veered off runway 34 right during its takeoff run December 20th and was destroyed. There were no fatalities, but 38 passengers and crew members were hospitalized. Now, the Rocky Mountain News reports 25-year-old Melissa Kraft and 21-year-old Emily Pellegrini, both of Texas, are claiming the pilot negligently aborted the flight. The lawsuit's language seems to assert the plane would have managed to take flight but for pilot error. The National Transportation Safety Board says pilots David Butler and Chad Levang didn't attempt to abort the takeoff until 7 seconds after the plane was already off the pavement. Continental calls the lawsuit premature. Quote, "We're prepared to defend the company's actions and those of our crew," unquote. New reduced vertical separation minima, already in use to allow tighter airline traffic in Europe, are being questioned after an Armavia Airlines A320 appears to have been caught in the wake turbulence of an Emirates Airbus A380 that was flying about 1,000 feet higher this past weekend. Armenian News reports the incident happened over the former Soviet state of Georgia. The smaller plane suddenly banked sharply to the right, triggering an automatic disconnect of the aircraft's autopilot. The flight crew was able to quickly regain control, and the A320 continued on safely. Earlier research suggested wake vortices off an A380 in cruise flight are no greater than from any other heavy aircraft. We figured this was coming. AIR Incorporated reports 2008 pilot hires were less than half what they were in 2007. The slowing economy and a mid-year spike in fuel prices are among factors blamed for holding pilot hires at 6,479 for the year. That's down from 13,157 in 2007. Of the 92,348 pilots employed industry-wide, 4,494 are currently furloughed. That's an increase of 1,400 from this time last year. AIR predicts just 5,000 new airline pilot jobs will open during 2009. AirTran, fortunately, will be bucking that trend. The airline says that next month it expects to call back 60 furloughed pilots in preparation for what the carrier says will be a busy summer travel season. AirTran is also hiring as many as 120 new flight attendants, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Mike Best, president of the National Pilots Association, says the union is very hopeful the roughly 110 pilots still on furlough at AirTran will be recalled later this year. The new flight attendants will replace those who found other jobs before they were recalled from furloughs. Up next on ANN, the KCX competition may not be back this year, or ever. Aerospace contractors lobby for space as a national priority. and SpaceX has a Falcon 9 standing vertical at Cape Canaveral. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 14th. I'm Paul Plagg. One of the stories we expected to be covering this year was the next round of bidding for the U.S. Air Force's next-generation aerial refueling tanker, dubbed the KCX. If you recall last year's drama, Northrop Grumman won the contract to build new tankers based on the Airbus A330 airliner. Excited economic development officials in Alabama were beaming at the thought of all the jobs promised by Airbus parent Eads, which also pledged to produce other A330 variants there if the military tanker was approved. But Boeing challenged the process as having been biased toward Northrop's bid. The Government Accountability Office of Congress agreed, and the Air Force finally agreed the project should be rebid. Now, the Orlando Sentinel is reporting industry observers are predicting that given other priorities for the incoming Obama administration, any new KCX bidding process may be put off till 2010 at the soonest, and that the Air Force might decide not to build the plane at all. John Pike, president of GlobalSecurity.org, a defense research firm, commented, quote, "Frankly, I hope the tanker deal is one thing that does not survive the transition. Basically, there's really nothing wrong with the existing KC-135 tankers, and any case for replacing them is completely made up," unquote. Regarding the recent trend toward official protests of every new Air Force contract, regardless of who wins, Lexington Institute defense analyst Lauren Thompson offers the one assessment on which everyone agrees. Quote, "I don't know if we'll ever build the next generation tanker, but we're sure building some good law firms in the process," unquote. A new report from the Aerospace Industries Association is promoting the idea that the nation can no longer afford to treat its national security, civil, and commercial space capabilities separately. The report is titled "The Role of Space in Addressing America's National Priorities." It recommends the Obama administration develop a mechanism to consider our space capabilities as a single enterprise consistent with national goals and objectives. AIA President Marion Blakey commented, quote, "Given our dependence on space assets and increasing international competition, it is critical that space issues be seamlessly integrated into national policy," unquote. AIA represents aerospace contractors. The report is being provided to the new administration and Congress. Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, says its Falcon 9 launch vehicle was successfully raised to vertical on Saturday at Space Launch Complex 40 in Cape Canaveral. That would be 2 days ahead of schedule. The Falcon 9 is scheduled to make its maiden flight later this year. SpaceX completed the Falcon 9 vehicle integration in a horizontal position on December 30th. It was then lifted and mated to a transporter erector system designed and built by SpaceX to carry the 17-foot diameter, 180-foot long rocket to the launch pad. On Saturday at 12:45 p.m. Eastern Time, SpaceX began the process of raising Falcon 9, and about 30 minutes later, the rocket stood vertical at the Cape. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk commented, quote, "We encountered no showstoppers or significant delays. I'm highly confident that we will achieve our goal of being able to go from hangar to liftoff in under 60 minutes, which would be a big leap forward in capability compared with the days to weeks required of other launch vehicles," unquote. In December, NASA selected the Falcon 9 launch vehicle and Dragon spacecraft as the primary means of transporting cargo to and from the International Space Station after the space shuttle fleet retires in 2010. The airlines are cutting back. Airplane manufacturers are cutting back. There's even talk of delaying NASA's Constellation program. But there's one corner of the transportation industry that's continuing full steam ahead, regardless of the economy. If you couldn't guess, it's the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. In Mississippi, the Hattiesburg American newspaper studied the correlation between airline passenger traffic and security staffing around the state. It reports Mississippi's seven major airports saw an overall decline of about 23,000 passenger emplanements from January through the end of November, representing a drop of about 2% for the first 11 months of last year. But Sari Koschitz, a spokeswoman in the Miami office of the TSA, told the paper, quote, "There are no plans for reducing our staff," unquote. Those employees will have lighter duty for a while. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, domestic airline passenger counts were down 1.5% for the first 5 months of 2008, compared to the same period in 2007. For the first 7 months of last year, the number of flights was down 2.1%. So, has anybody noticed the lines getting any shorter? Still ahead, JARS takes delivery of a plane designed exactly for its needs. EADS tells customers the A400M will take at least another 3 years. And Embraer says it set another new record for deliveries in 2008. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The Quest Kodiak is a big, stout, single-engine turboprop designed specifically for the unique needs of mission and humanitarian organizations serving remote areas where aviation gasoline is rare or extinct. Last week, serial number 8 was delivered to David Reeves, president of JARS, a customer which exemplifies the plane's design mission. JARS started in 1948, back when its name stood for Jungle Aviation and Radio Service. It was founded by Wycliffe Bible Translators co-founder William Cameron Townsend to provide aviation and technology services to support Bible translation. As the group's mission expanded over the years, the name JARS came to stand on its own, no longer an acronym. The Kodiak is a 10-place aircraft offering a 3,100-pound useful load and short takeoff capabilities. JARS will fly it to promotional appearances around the U.S. this summer before putting it to work reaching the people of Papua New Guinea's rugged mountains and remote coastal areas. One of those appearances will be at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, which this year is paying special tribute to public benefit aviation activities and mission-based flight operations in a spotlight called Fly for Life. It's already been more than two decades since EADS announced the A400M military transport program, designed to be a competitor to the C-130 Hercules. Now, it looks as if the plane won't make it to customers until the silver anniversary of that announcement. Airbus Military and EADS announced on Monday a new approach, telling its partner nations they must join together to find a way forward and refusing to even guess at a new start of deliveries. Bloomberg says what this means is another three-year delay in first deliveries for the airlifter. A total of nine countries are on the waiting list for a total of 192 aircraft. After years of frustrating delays, Airbus Military will say only that the plane is still expected to make its first flight sometime this year, but the earliest customer deliveries could start is now sometime in 2012. Airbus Military says adequate maturity must be reached based on flight test results before the company will commit further to a delivery timetable. Evolution Securities analyst Nick Cunningham says the latest delay could mean $6 billion in new losses for EADS. He's changed his recommendation on the stock to sell. In a welcome contrast to black economic clouds elsewhere, Embraer says 2008 saw a second consecutive record for aircraft deliveries. The Brazilian plane maker notes it delivered 20% more planes than 2007's total of 169. The fourth quarter of 2008 saw customers pick up 44 E-Jets, 8 Legacy 600s, 2 Phenom 100s, 1 Embraer 175, and 4 jets in the defense and government segment. At the same time, the company says sales were strong enough to increase its backlog, which reportedly ended 2008 at $20.9 billion U.S. And finally, ANN has learned that just-retired AOPA President Phil Boyer is headed for Aspen. I know what you're saying. It's about time he took a ski vacation. Only, that's not the Aspen we're talking about. Boyer will become the first outside director of Aspen Avionics, joining 6 investors and company execs already on the board. His job will be helping guide the manufacturer of the Evolution flight display through its next stages of growth. President and CEO John Uzekai said of the news, quote, "Aspen enjoys an active board of directors, with everyone contributing to the company's success. Phil's extensive experience and relationships will be invaluable in helping chart Aspen's strategic course in the years ahead, and in ensuring that our products meet the needs of pilots around the world," unquote. We told you Boyer wouldn't just disappear. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'm joined by Experimental Aircraft Association President Tom Poberesny for a look ahead at the 4 major issues on EAA's plate in 2009. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.